Hey there, welcome to the first episode of Ujale's podcast, where we talk to top technology leaders to understand what's going on in the world of technology. Today we are diving into a hot topic that has been making waves since last 1 week, the risk of force updates in proprietary software, especially after the recent hiccups with Microsoft and CrowdStrike. So what's the deal? Force updates are those changes that tech companies push to your system without asking you first. They can mess things up big time, like we have seen recently, from airport operation to dial 100 to critical healthcare services, all went for a toss, thanks to a single line of code going haywire. We have got Dr. Doug Milburn, president and founder of 45 Drives, here to shed some light on this. He has got some strong opinion about why letting these updates happen without checking them first is a bad idea. Dr. Milburn will talk about why businesses should look at open source technology for more control over their system. He will share some real life stories, including how his own company got hit twice in 1 week because of these force updates. And he has got some great tips on how to keep your system secure and reliable, even with all these changes happening. So stick around, we have got a lot to cover and you would not like to miss it. Dr. Milburn, thank you for joining in today. What we saw last week seems to have been a great reminder of the power of a code. One line of a code going haywire at the kernel level has shut down operation across airport, banks, government services, jail operation, and whatnot. How do you look at this entire CrowdStrike and Microsoft saga? And how do you view the practice of pushing force update from a cybersecurity and business continuity perspective?
So what happened? CrowdStrike, so people purchased CrowdStrike MDR managed deployment and recovery solution, i.e. from antivirus. A lot of companies, it's enterprise level, call it antivirus, but MDR is the proper category name, elevated. Managed AI and service teams added on. Well-respected company, very, very well-respected company, and good at what they do. However, they're completely proprietary. And they do a practice that we deeply disagree with, which is forced updates. And we find them objectionable, so do a lot of our customers. Because what happened is not only inevitable, but it's if not a daily occurrence, it's a weekly occurrence. When you have a vendor, so a fully proprietary vendor, okay, and you give them access to your computer system so they can go make changes anytime they want. And it amazes me that the industry allows this to happen from a cybersecurity and from a reliability point of view. Because all it takes is one little line of code. And apparently with CrowdStrike, there is, the temporary fix is to take a one small text file, reboot your computer in safe mode, you can pull one little text file and you're good. So this was a very small error, okay? And you'll never avoid making small errors in the computer business. It's going to happen. So and in this case it was a small error. In other cases it can be that somebody, does something malicious, like injects backdoors, Trojan horses into software. And in no way would I suggest that we not trust those companies' intentions and efforts to be secure, but they're just like you'll never get rid of all your bugs, you will never get rid of all possibilities for somebody to attack and put backdoors into software, as one example. So the word, I'll go back and quote a former American president, he says, trust but verify. And we believe the proper strategy is to trust, but verify. And that's the issue. So in proprietary software, and be it Microsoft Windows, let me make one more little point here. Just before the CrowdStrike event happened in that previous week, in our own organization, which is about 400 people, our operations were adversely affected twice. And we run, several hundred Microsoft Windows. On desktop, we use a lot of Microsoft Windows. We have some Linux desktops, but we use Microsoft Windows as well. and Windows has this forced update practice. And one of the things our sales team uses Microsoft Outlook, and there was a bug in Microsoft Outlook that affected the way that our CRM software pushes out certain messages. And basically it crashed our Salesforce. Our Salesforce was shut down for about 2 or 3 hours while our IT team came in and had to roll back, manually roll back updates on every one of those machines. And then all of 2 days later, they did another forced update in our production facility. And part of it, we used printers, special printers, that industrial printers made by Roland. And these Roland printers, the Microsoft update broke the Roland drivers. So it shut down our production facility. That was about 4 hours of lost production. So this is an ordinary occurrence, forced updates, mistakes, and there's no way around it. And when you have a proprietary software provider, mm-hmm. I mean, number one, they're forced updates, they're just doing it. Number two is, even if they gave you the option to put in those updates yourself, you have no way to verify what's inside those updates. Okay. And you know, there's potential consequences to that. I mean, you can't know that there's a bug in there, and you can't know that there is, like, for example, a security concern like a backdoor. So what we do in the open source world is, number one, it's just really simple. Everything's transparent, everything's voluntary. Okay. So our organization, with our customers and enterprise data storage, large data storage, and clustered and standalone server data storage, and also in virtualization, Proxmox, replacement for VMware, we vet updates. We try them, we put them in, and we test them very, very carefully. And I'm sure CrowdStrike does, Microsoft do too. But then when it gets to our customers, they get rolled out in a very, very controlled manner to make sure that nothing gets broken, because everybody's system is different, right? Okay. And Microsoft could check carefully on all the computers they have, and maybe they didn't have Roland printers, right? And so that whole thing of taking great care. Number two, transparency. There's an example, if you go back to about March, somebody in the open source world found a SSH secure shell, you know, terminal program that people use to remotely administer Linux. Somebody discovered something funny. They noticed some very subtle, funny behavior in the way things worked after an update. And they looked into it because the source code's open. Somebody in their IT department looked at it, and they found that somebody had injected, they had done exactly what I talked about. They had a backdoor in there. So the community found out about it, and out it goes. It was probably put in by a foreign government of some sort. I say foreign government, who knows? But whoever it is, maybe it was the mafia, you know, who knows who put that backdoor in there. Maybe it was a hacker group, but it was found. And it could be found before it did damage. You know, not necessarily it was going to be, but it could be, because it's 100% transparent. So basically, in summary to that, forced update by your provider, trust your provider, no ability to verify. And they have the ability to reach in, and whether their organization is work with best intention and made a mistake, or whether their organization has been compromised, you got the ability for this to happen, and for airlines to shut down, and, you know, major organizations to just get shut down, and you're kind of defenseless. You're just out there, you are wide open. Right. And that's when the open source, we have Microsoft Windows, and further to this, where actually this thing came along, and it's an interesting coincidence. We have an event called Creators Summit. We bring together YouTube tech content creators along with tech journalists, mm-hmm. and they come to our little part of North America, and which is kind of a summer resort area, and we get together for a little retreat, and we just talk about, you know, pertinent topics. This year's topic is with an attempt to be humorous, we called it de-Microsoftification. Right. Very intentionally long, and, you know, we created the word, but it's all about this being a slave to proprietary software, not having control. Most Microsoft Windows installations now, they have a call home feature. It you don't say okay to it; it just goes through your firewall.
Right.
We're a high security organization. We're, you know, U.S. government cybersecurity certified. And the whole idea of having software that phones home through our firewall is just, in this day and age, I can't believe that anybody puts up with it. And then forced updates, we lose time regularly for updates. So that's the topic of it. And you go, okay, that's easy to say, but what do you do? Mm-hmm. What we've replaced about a quarter of our work, and in the back end, our servers are all open source. We don't have any proprietary server technology. But on the workstation end of it, we have Microsoft. And Microsoft, I give Microsoft a lot of credit. I think Microsoft's a great company. I think they've done amazing things. You know, they are the software anchor for open hardware and somewhat open software ecosystem, although they do a lot of gamesmanship to protect their pseudo-monopolies and to frustrate myself, industry people from time to time. But they've been a pretty good company, and their product is pretty darn good. But their practice, these heavy-handed practices of reaching in, right into your computer, right into your network, and doing what they want for their purposes, you know, and most, vast majority of the updates. We talk about security updates and being necessary and whatever else, and probably most of them are. I bet you some of them aren't relevant necessarily. But there's an awful lot of updates that, you know, they'll just change the look of your computer or something that for us, with hundreds of employees, and even worse, we have thousands of employees, all of a sudden everybody says, hey, my Microsoft Office just changed. How do I deal with this? Right. That costs me big money. So we got all these levels. We got the irritations, the changes, the money spending, the breaking of things, and then the prevention, this potential security risk.
Okay.
If you look at the open source alternative, major ability to get control of this. You know, the other issue on it, people point out, well, that takes work. Yeah, it does. It takes work to be secure. It takes less work to not absorb frivolous updates and all potential breaks that happen. So you'll gain on that. It'll be a little bit more work on security updates, necessary updates to vet them yourself. And it just is what it is. You want to be secure and you want that reliability, security against malicious activity, but also security against what just happened. Innocent mistake, just massively shutting down organizations and costing a fortune. Then, well, you have to do some investment. And open source is a path that absolutely works for that.
Dr. Melbourne, that brings up two critical points. First, the concept of business resiliency, which has been a hot topic among tech executives and consultants post-pandemic. Yet in this case, business resiliency seems to be the biggest casualty. Now, from an enterprise perspective, many companies have already implemented various solutions from proprietary technology vendors like Microsoft. Their business critical infrastructure depends on this complex software and system. So now let me ask you, if you are one of those companies, how do you ensure business continuity and resiliency? And how do you take control of your cybersecurity in your hand?
Yeah, sure. And let me not talk at the desktop level, which is where this failure happened. People will be talking about infrastructure. It's what we do for a living. So redundancy, okay? And then management of change. Because these things happen in change. So the best, the most resilient way to approach software, or more robust and reliable way to approach software, is to have your software on-prem, okay, and just absolutely manage change on it with great care. Because these things happen when somebody changes something. That's when, if you own software, it just keeps working, unless you have a hardware breakdown or a, you know, corruption of a block on a hard drive. It's just going to work. Those things are easy to, you know, and they're not systemic. That doesn't happen all across your whole network. So let me talk about redundancy and infrastructure. It's what we do. We are the experts in the world on using SAP open source storage clustering software for file systems. And that thing for we call it ordinary file system-like activities, one of our specialties. And we regularly build systems for people, you know, who would range from military organizations to back-end infrastructure providers who, you know, downtime is disastrous to. And so we build, storage clustering, it's both high availability and redundancy, as well as elasticity, scalability. And so what we'll do is we will build redundancy in at server level. So if a server goes down, you don't have an issue. Redundant networking is totally common. And then geo replication and failover. is common. Okay? And so you build in all that redundancy, and you're going to get that stuff up and going, and it is solid as a rock. It just works. Something does happen. It's going to be like, you know, I don't know, we always jokingly call it a meteor strike. You know, a meteor comes to space, hits your server room, and that'll happen again. You got another server room, you fail over. This is ordinary for us. So, and when you have that going, then the next risk is what happens when you do updates and change. And that's all about either having the expertise in-house or using somebody like us who understands that in mission critical, you need to step carefully, one foot in front of each other, mitigate your risks by testing in limited areas. Mm-hmm. And you know what we do before we roll out anything, enterprise Linux, enterprise open source is the, you know, we will, Rocky Linux, we're a founding sponsor of Rocky Linux, which is a successor to CentOS. It's all about staying 6 months to a year behind on most things, and such that you're not pushing updates through until they are well vetted. And there'll be other, you know, more consumer-y or desktop-y type distros that where the kernel changes will move out, and they will get tested for a long, long time in a lot of stations. So we stand back to the curve. It's mission critical. If you're on the curve, the bleeding edge is going to bleed. So that's how you manage it. Lots of redundancy to go against things like hard drive failure, server failure, network failure, power failure, you know, somebody malicious, an employee comes in and smashes stuff or whatever else. And always having that redundancy at the software level of snapshotting of data is incredibly important. We snapshot very, very, very heavily.
Right.
The other thing we do, ransomware isn't ever going, your cybersecurity will fail from time to time. We have a layer of ransomware protection that uses something called behavioral analysis and technology we developed that puts that layer of protection on. So that's where you need to go to do that. The other end of it, you know, in terms of risk, cloud and proprietary and forced update proprietary, you're just not able to manage those risks. You can't manage. They're not manageable. You have to trust. You can't verify. Anything goes wrong in their organization, it propagates out and it's in your organization. You know, we just saw a worst case, but as I said, these are day-to-day occurrences on these things. And that model of just reaching into your system when they want, you know, we have hundreds, God forbid, we have thousands of something like that happen. You're just defenseless. It's that redundancy and great care and conservatism in how you roll it out and either being knowledgeable yourself or work with knowledgeable, you know, service providers and combination thereof. That's how you do it. That's how you get it. You got to own it. It's got to be on your premises. You got to have control. Nobody else should touch it until you are darn ready. Somebody to touch it. That's how you stay up.
Right. Given that the crowd strikes, Falcon Solutions had a kernel level access in the operating system, which provided them privileged access. Do you think there should be a mandatory simulation period on a subset of devices before rolling out any updates globally? And could such a simulation exercise have prevented the global outage?
Absolutely. What you said just mirrors what we do. We roll stuff out very, very slowly and carefully. And number one, we would never advise a customer to ever allow anybody anywhere at any time to have access to the kernel. Our view in security, you want to trust a proprietary vendor? And it's like, they may be great at corporate level, but somebody just needs to come along and, that backdoor I talked about in SSH happened, it was a social attack on one of the developers. You know, it's all social, right? It's that, you know, somebody come along pretending, hey, look, I got to look after you and whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're people trick a developer.
Right.
Something injects into something. If that happens at a proprietary company, you're helpless. And they won't know. It'll just get completely deployed and you're completely helpless on it. We believe, we run our company this way as much as we can. We own the software. If we need an improvement, if updates come out, you have this update train. I started computing a long, long time ago. Started microcomputers, DEC, TDP-11s and VAXs and back in that world. And, along came the PC world and loved it. 8086 machines, and then 286, 386, and then Microsoft jumping, ahead, then Linux coming out. You'd also embrace the updates. You're just waiting for something to just work better. But when you run a business, you look at it and you say, the infrastructure I own and run, is it working well and doing the job well right now? If it is, like, what gain are you trying to get out of the, the non-prem, and security is its own category, but let's say everything is non-secure. Mm-hmm. What do I need? I don't need updates. The vast majority of stuff in our insider company, we don't need the updates. This whole idea of just going updates, hey, it's new.
Right.
Well, is new better in enterprise computing? I think I play with Jim. Enterprise computing, new is not better. In fact, enterprise computing, if you look at it, there's an awful lot of legacy in there, and it's just fine up until it's not. When it's not, you got to move ahead. But if you move ahead carefully, because your organization is at risk.
Right.
But this idea, just the other guys, Microsoft, so many of their updates, good, they're going to update the color speed. It's like, what? I let you reach into my computer so you can update the color screen. So what? So you're cool? Like, it's proprietary trust without verify is utterly foolhardy in my view. And it's not about being backwards in enterprise computing.
Right.
It's about being deliberate.
Right.
Put your innovation, there's always risk to change. Put those risks where it's going to pay for you. And the idea of letting your provider change whatever they want, they're interested to stay current, stay cool, whatever that means in tech. And that's their interest. And, the Windows 8 fiasco, debacle, Windows 8 came along and they decided we were going to all have touchscreen like operating system with one window in focus like a smartphone. And it, I don't know if you ever watched the Simpsons cartoon, but, that Moe's Bar one day, trends, and Microsoft saw that as a trend. Moe's Bar, and Moe with Barney and Homer drinking in the bar all the time, dedicated customers, and Moe says, family restaurant. Yeah, that's where it's at. You gotta have a family restaurant, kick these customers out. They were gonna change the whole of Microsoft Windows to make it touchscreen ready and force changes on business users like us. And in Windows for us, I sit here with two monitors. I'll say our smarter employees have three monitors. They can handle it. But that idea of multiple windows and multiple things open because, the accounting, they got three or four different things going on and windowing and had little or nothing to do with that. Windows 8 came along and they tried to jam that through. The senior management thought this was a good idea. And it's like that proprietary, when they own you, it just becomes a problem. It's a problem in so many ways. I'll show you one more, just slightly peripheral this, but it's on that whole thing when they own you. The VMware situation, legacy software, probably not doing as well financially.
Mm-hmm.
They get bought out by Broadcom, stroke of the corporate strategy, and all of a sudden, millions of users are into a price regime that makes no sense for what they're doing. And you can get written out, USA organization can get written out of the picture like that when they own you. They run their business for their purposes. Now, it's going to line up with the customers. It's not evil or anything like that.
Right.
It's just your potential deer in the headlights. If you are in the open source world, you own your software infrastructure and you own your hardware, runs your premises, the whole world could evaporate and what you have in your premises is still going to work. You can keep it the way it is today, and it will work like it is today. You can move ahead because it's constantly getting updated. And should something happen like CentOS and Rocky, CentOS all of a sudden, the idea of Red Hat pulled the carpet out from under CentOS Enterprise Linux, the world goes, oh, and a bunch of developers go, good, it's an open source license, let's take it, we'll branch, we got Rocky. Rocky does everything and more that CentOS did.
Right.
Same flavor, enterprise, conservative, robust, reliability first, security first, and on we go. And it just works. It's such a nice model. If you like security at all these levels, open source just has these advantages versus somebody owning your life.
Right. You mentioned about the open source technology, but there is a perception among some of the CIOs and technology people that the proprietary technology, especially put forward by Microsoft of the world, Google, AWS, they are more secure, more reliable. compared to the open source technology. I would like to understand from you, how true is that perception? And second, let's say if you like to imbibe open source technology. So any company which is looking to imbibe open source technology, what are the things that they should be doing in order to ensure that whatever the IT infrastructure that they are creating, that those are reliable and secure?
Well, the biggest thing that we see for adoption of open source, we get many a sales process will be up against legacy and proprietary, and there's an aura of security in it, and it's old. The reality of it is today, if somebody says open source is less secure, I mean, they're spooky words. Can't back that up. It's not true. You put in a hardened by default open source implementation, and it's as robust as you can get. Keep that kernel locked away, kernel access locked away, and I would say it's better now. I can't back that up because the number of incidents are small, and a lot of them get swept under the carpet. People don't want to see it. But the major, the major breaches are in the proprietary.
Right.
That's what major breaches are. And as a reality, and I think if you just went through the media and you look at what hit the media, and again, it's not objective sampling, but it's going to be proprietary when that happens. If you do a sensible implementation of open source, you're going to be more robust. Now, all that said, when we look at that, and this is trust, right? And you got to trust your vendors. Something open source, you got to trust the projects, right? You can't go through everything. You have an absolute inability to verify. Trust without verify and mission critical is, just faith, just simple faith. Yep, Microsoft will never do wrong. They'll never shut me down. They'll never back door and let somebody come in and steal my data and get out. The reality is it's happening all the time. They're getting in through that. If you want to get out and around that, like everything we said, open source, stay back, stay in enterprise open source, very, very conservative about the distros and the kernel levels, and stay in a conservative distro, and be very, very cautious. The concept of hardened by default, everything gets closed down. You only open up what you specifically have to open up. Be careful about your architecture and what you use, because some things in proprietary are not. Some some services protocols are more secure than others, and secure protocols, and you're going to do really, really well. Cloud, if we look at, for storage, for example, I said we do virtualization as well, but you look at on the storage side of it, open source, the cost of an open source storage cluster and Ceph from us compared to a major cloud provider, it's a small fraction of the cost, number one. Number two, the infrastructure is yours. You're going to have to open it up. If you're going to push out to remote location, you have to open it up. The risks are there. But those risks, you own the back end. Everybody else has the same risk when, something getting hijacked. But you're encrypted. You're going through secure connections. That's not really where the problems are. The problems are social attacks. That's by far the biggest risk is social attacks. And now it's all inside your organization. Whereas you are vulnerable to social attacks inside and outside your organization if you're on cloud and failures on other organizations. So I would say, and I'm confident, say defense sector, we do a lot of work in the defense sector, all kinds of levels in agencies and militaries. It's a significant part of our business. We work with them and put open source in and air gap it, and you are... you're just rock solid at that point. When you're not air gapped, fundamental risk by doing that, but that's just a fundamental risk, right? Because you got a door open to the world, and it is what it is. But open source can be extremely secure if you design it that way. You have control. Right. That's the big thing. You have control, and you're off this train. Between serious conversations about secure, like we're having right now, and the CrowdStrike Microsoft, here, guys, just own our kernel. Yeah, do whatever you want. Yeah, make it look pretty and make sure your market position looks good going forward. Like, what? Like, it's just such, such a dramatically different world. Open source, own it, keep it behind walls, be conservative about how you use it. That every update carefully, nothing guarantees you might. Right. There's no complete guarantee, but with LoRaDAT's much more secure and reliable. Use that word secure in terms of reliability and keep away from malicious attacks. Just orders of magnitude, a better way to do it from a security reliability point of view.
Thank you, Dr. Melbourn, for sharing your insight with us today. This has been incredibly informative. And that is all we have in this episode today. Folks, stay tuned for more Tech Insight next time. Thanks for listening.